Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. I think of this morning about our Lord and just how great and wonderful He is to us. And we needed the rain, and thank the Lord for the rain this morning. We do pray for those who were not unable to be here, and pray for them, and several out sick this morning. Let's remember our church family in prayer. We think about Hebrews 13, verse 1. Just listen to these words. Paul, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews, and here the Bible says in verse 1, says, "Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said," listen to this, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that we may be boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you that you have promised in your word that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to be reminded this morning of that wonderful truth. In Jesus' name, amen. An old song says, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for Jesus have refuge have fled." Listen to the third verse. "When through deep water," "When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, thy trials to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress." Says He'll be with us. A lot more to that song. Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is all we need. He is our all in all. And that last verse says my goal there in the song, it says, my goal is not to harm you. My goal is to get the dross, to let the fire get the dross out of your life and to refine you. And we understand and know, those of us who've been a Christians a while, that trials and tribulations and things that we face are there for our betterment. I know that sounds the complete opposite of what you would think, but they are. They're there for God to continually work in our life. Listen to this. A lack of trust in God breeds covetousness and discontent. A lack of trust in God breeds covetousness and discontent. Again, if we don't trust God, many times we become covetous of what others may have or discontent on what we may have. Christians shouldn't love things. Money, stuff, things are easily will become idols in our own lives. And that's the worst kind of sin that we think about. And again, it's not about whether or not you should have anything. Of course, Jesus said that He would, if we'll seek Him first, then He'll supply the things that we need. And Paul said in Philippians that if we trust in Him, that God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We know that. But to sit around and think about, well, if I had this, then my life would be better. Or if I had this, I would be happier. If I had this, and look at what maybe the neighbors have or whatever has. But Paul says that whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And we ought to be content. Listen to this. Discontent is ingratitude and the opposite of thanksgiving. Discontent is ingratitude and the opposite of thanksgiving. What did the Bible say? That in all things we're to be thankful. To be thankful in all things. Right? I mean, we're to be thankful in all things. We're to be thankful for what God has given us. We're to be thankful for where God has placed us. We're to be thankful for the small things as well as the big things. But we ought to be thankful. We ought to be content. Tough verse is found over in Timothy. We won't go over there, but to Timothy, Paul says, hey, we came into this world with nothing, and we leave with nothing. And having food and raiment, therewith be content. Man, you got food on the table. I don't know about you, but I'm going home this afternoon. I'm going to eat something. Now, I was so thankful last Sunday, Easter Sunday. That morning I leave before the rest of them, me and Micah, we come up to the church. We get the building ready. We were a little late this morning and people sitting at the door. But anyway, I apologize. I wasn't late. But we get here early, so I never get to see what my wife is going to fix for lunch. You know, Easter Sunday, I was praying for roast. You know what I'm saying? Roast and potatoes. I could eat roast and potatoes every Sunday for the rest of my life and be fine. I could, honestly. We ate that every day, every Sunday growing up at home. And I could continue to just, not only is the food good, but it got great fond memories of wonderful food. All right, we'll get off on food. But it said if you have food, if you have raiment, I don't know about you, but open up the closet. I got plenty of clothes. At times, I sometimes have more clothes than my wife. Not on purpose, but I've kind of developed this fat clothes, skinny clothes thing. What are y'all laughing about? Same thing. Right? No? Yeah. But if you got food and clothes, Paul said you ought to be content with it. And we ought to be content. We think about the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. Again, God provided them manna in the morning. I mean, they would get up in the morning, except on Saturday. They would get up in the morning and there would be bread on the ground. All they'd do is pick it up and gather it and eat it. I mean, and in the evening, quail would come into the camp and they would just simply go around and pick the quail up. It's amazing how God provided for them. And they continued to tempt God, the Bible says. And they continued to test Him and be discontent. They weren't content with what God had provided for them. They asked the question, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Yes, He can. God can do anything. We serve a great God, and He provided for them, but for the most part, they were not content with what God had given them. Prayer is asking God, and when we ask God, we ought to absolutely pray for His will. We ought to pray for His will. As we pray, we pray for things. We ought to pray for things. Prayer means ask. Pray means ask. If you're not asking, you're not praying. Let me say it again. If you're not asking, you're not praying. Pray means ask. But as we pray for God's will to be done. We think about the model prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. Can I tell you this morning that our Father knows best? I think that was a TV show. You couldn't put that TV show on today. Let me call that politically incorrect. Father knows best. Can I tell you that God knows best? God knows the best for our lives. God knows what we need. God knows exactly where we're at. He knows the state we're in. We think about a father and a child going to a father asking questions, and I still do that with my dad. Why do we do that? Well, we think about the wisdom our fathers have. We think about the wisdom of years. But can I tell you that God is from everlasting to everlasting? He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. No one teaches God. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? I mean, God knows everything. God is all-knowing. And we know that all things, Romans 28 and 29, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. God is working on us, conforming us to the image of His Son. When we are discontent, it's like saying to God, you don't know what you're doing. He does. Absolutely knows what He's doing. Ephesians 1:5 says He is working on us according to the good pleasure of His will, not ours. It's not about us, it's all about Him. It's not about our will be done, but it's about His will be done. Hebrews 12 says that He is chastening us according to the good pleasure of His will. Chastening us. And as a father does a son, He chastens us many times. And many times we go through various trials and circumstances. and that He is chastening us. But there are many times He's simply working on us, conforming us. Everything He is doing in our life is conforming us and shaping us into the image of His Son. That is the goal of every Christian, to be like Christ. To be like Him. Being content is not opposed to being industrious. This is a quote from Arthur Pink. Being content is not opposed to being industrious. In other words, not saying you can't, you know, vie for a job change or, you know, try to work and do those things in which we all want to do and succeed in the business world. But he's saying we don't give those things up simply to have stuff. We don't give up being thankful for God and what He's done for us. In other words, we can be industrious. God gave us 6 days to work and we should work, but not out of covetousness or a desire for wealth. So the next time you're thinking about advancing in the job world, just ask yourself, why am I doing this? Motives matter. Motives matter. Be content with what God has appointed. I love this. Now, I've got this underlined, marked, and just want to really confirm this again. Our jobs are vehicles to provide for our families. Our jobs are vehicles to provide for our families and ministry. And ministry. That's what our jobs are for. Our jobs are a calling. Our jobs are, your job is a calling. My job is a calling. I was called of God to preach and to be a pastor. But your job is also a calling. And every day at your job, you ought to see it as that. An opportunity to be a witness to those around you. View it as a calling, as a ministry. Be content. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Can I remind you, as I did Wednesday night, that we only have one person to please? One person to please. And that's to please the Heavenly Father. You have absolutely one person to please, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said Wednesday night, if you please the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll please everyone else. At least your family, and you may not, maybe some lost people out there you won't please, but you'll please those whom you want to please. All this life will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Let's be reminded that we should be seeking Christ first. We see the promise in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. First off, we see in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Let's love each other. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And the new commandment, he says, I give unto you that ye love one another. And we ought to love each other. The way we show that is by being selfless towards those around us. And then it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And that's for a different message, but this and there's opportunity for us to be a blessing to others around us. So we need to be aware and be careful whom we shun. Right? We may be entertaining an angel. You never know. By the way, that in the Old Testament, we see they appeared as men. Remember them that are in bonds and bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in body. Listen, we need to think about those who are suffering as though we are suffering with them. It's hard many times to empathize with people, but we need to be empathetic towards those around us and understanding and caring about them. Last night, me and Taylor and Micah got to go up and see Dorothy Neal in the hospital. And she's back in the hospital. And just got to go up and visit with her for a second. She loves seeing the kids. That's why I brought them with me. We came back from a baseball game. And Taylor played softball yesterday. So we came up. We were there about 6 o'clock. And visited with Miss Neal. She was so glad to see those kids and Micah. And she just, you know, just loved on them. And I said, we were about to leave and about to pray, and I said, Miss Neal, would you like for the kids to sing for you? I just, you know, knowing what she likes and what she would want, and trying to empathize with her situation. What a situation to be in, to be on your back in the hospital with a mentally handicapped son and all the things she has to go through. And they sang to her boys her face, and she started singing with them, you know. What a blessing it was. And we need to be caring and kind towards those who are going through distresses and going through trials. And the Bible says, if a brother fall, pick him up. And all those things. And then we look down at verse 5 of our main text this morning. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." This promise is a guarantee of God's continual provision and protection. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Covetousness and discontentment are dispelled by God's presence. In other words, we know God is with us. We trust Him. We know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. We think about, you say, well, then how do we, well, we think about the attributes of God and just how powerful He is, that He keeps the stars in their course. He knows the stars by name. He has every star named. That's God, all right? Again, His knowledge is above anything that we can think or ask. He takes care of the sparrows, according to Matthew chapter 10. So He keeps the stars in their course. He named the stars, but He also watches the sparrow. Every sparrow. How many sparrows do you think there are? It says He takes care of every one of them. I've told you the story before, but on the farm growing up, in my grandparents' farm, we weren't allowed to shoot certain things, but you could shoot sparrows. I know that's not politically correct today, but as boys, it was a lot of fun. And you were allowed to shoot sparrows, you were allowed to shoot crows, and you couldn't kill a crow. That was unbelievable. They must be the toughest birds in the world. And you were allowed to shoot, I know some ladies won't like this one, you're allowed to shoot blue jays. There was issues there. All right? On the farm, there was issues with blue jays, okay? Just take it for what it is. So certain things were, but you imagine God takes care, I shouldn't tell all these stories. God takes care of every sparrow. Every sparrow, God takes care of them. And He simply says, hey, if God can take care of the sparrow, He sure can take care of us. Absolutely can take care of us. Here we see in the Bible five examples in the Scripture of the phrase, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I like this. We see this in the life of Jacob. In the life of Jacob, in Genesis 28, verse 15, "Behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places, whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee." I will not leave thee. We think about Jacob as he left his father's house. Remember, he had stolen the birthright of his brother. He had tricked his dad to giving him the birthright. He tricked his brother of the birthright. I mean, he had done all these things. He was a trickster. He was a conniver. He was a deceiver. And he left. He had to flee his brother who was going to kill him. And as he fled, the Bible says he landed upon a certain place and put his head on a rock, used the rock as a pillow, and a ladder came down from heaven. And Jacob there received this great promise from God. He said, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will not forsake you, and I will bring you again back to your father's house. What a great promise. What if Jacob really believed that promise? It says he did. Do you believe God can take care of you? He says He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Do you believe that? In the midst of trials, God will never forsake us. God will never forsake us. Number two, we see this in the life of the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, Moses preaching to the nation of Israel, he says, God said this, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." In fact, Hebrews 13:5 is a quote from Deuteronomy 31:6. So here it is. The nation of Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. There they were again beside the River Jordan, looking over into the promised land that God had promised to give them. And as they thought about going into that land, they thought about the enemies that were there and the sons of Anakim, the giants that were in the land. And no doubt they had become disheartened. And Moses stands up and says, listen, be of good courage. Be strong and courageous. And he says, God said, listen, I will not leave thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. And many times we think about the giants in our lives. We think about the enemies in our life, the circumstances and distress. And God simply says, hey, be of good courage. I will not fail you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you during those times. I like the reference in the Old Testament. It calls the nation of Israel the congregation. We think about our church in that light. That God will not forsake our church. God will not fail us. God will not leave us. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. God did not forsake Jacob. Jacob did return to his homeland. Jacob did return to his father's house without his brother killing him. Jacob did return. The promise was kept. God made this great promise to Israel that they would go into the land and they would defeat their enemies. And God kept His promise. And I again remind you, Hebrews says God keeps every one of His promises. God cannot lie or else He wouldn't be God. He told Israel, I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. He told Jacob, I will not leave thee. This promise was also given to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. God talking to Joshua now. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Well, that's a great promise. As I was with thee, as I was with thee, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What a great promise given to the leader, the new leader of the nation of Israel. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. I would say to our teachers and workers, God will not fail you, will not leave thee, will not forsake you. God kept His promise to Joshua. And Joshua became a great and wonderful leader. Joshua came in and with his leadership defeated the enemies of God, the enemies of the nation of Israel, divided up the land amongst the children of Israel, and a great and wonderful victory was had by the hands of Joshua and through his leadership. God did not forsake or fail Joshua. The fourth one on my list is Solomon. Solomon, y'all still with me? Solomon. David was coming to the end of his life and God told David that he was choosing Solomon as the next king, and David began to set things up for his son Solomon. And one of the things he began to do is he began to tell Solomon what God was going to do with him. And David wanted to build God a temple. They had used the tabernacle for nearly 500 years. And God said David wanted to build a temple for God. And God was going to use Solomon to build this temple. And so in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, David gives that same promise to Solomon. He says to him, God will not forsake thee, and God will not fail thee. The same exact phrase that he had used in Deuteronomy, and the same exact phrase used in Genesis, the same exact phrase given to Joshua, same exact promise given to Solomon. Solomon, I will not fail thee. Solomon, I will not forsake thee. Boy, did God use Solomon in a great and wonderful way. In the Bible, you know, we talk about Solomon being the wisest man who ever lived. God had gave Solomon great wisdom because he asked for it. But God gave Solomon great wisdom, and so will He give us wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God had chosen Solomon to be king and to build the temple. And God told Solomon, I will not forsake thee. I will not fail thee. And know what? He didn't. Solomon did build the temple of God. Solomon did build that great and wonderful temple there in the city of Jerusalem. And on that dedication day, on the dedication day, great and wonderful thing happened. God came down in that temple. In fact, so much so that they couldn't enter the temple because of God's presence. Well, we would like to have that here at our church. Amen? God promised He would not forsake Solomon. God promised He would not fail him. And He kept His promise. God always keeps His promises. There's another scripture that uses this same quote. Isaiah 41, verse 17. There we see the Bible says, and when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongues faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Here Isaiah, of course, warning the nation of Israel about what God was going to do, and judgment was coming, but there's hope. And I love that two-fold approach that all the prophets had. judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. But there is hope. And here, the Lord is our helper. The Lord will not forsake us. The Lord will grant to us a time of refreshing. If you read the rest of this particular chapter, he talks about various flowers and things that bud. And I'm talking about in Isaiah, that God was going to do a great and wondrous thing for those who ask. In other words, for those who lack water, for those who are thirsty, when they ask, God will provide those things for them. Can I tell you that you and I are in that position today? We are in a great need today. Our nation is in great need today. Man, the nation of Israel had gotten themselves in a rotten position. They had gotten themselves in a position of idolatry and sinful condition. And God just simply says to them, if you'll cry out to me, he said, oh, you're going to thirst. There's not going to be any water in the land. Remember, he talked about, he said, I will bless them. Remember, when God gave the Ten Commandments, he told the nation of Israel, if you keep these, I will bless you. If you don't keep them, I will curse you. And one of the cursings was, I will withhold water. And he did so many and various times. He withheld water from the nation of Israel. He withheld the rain. And he says, there's going to come a time when you will not have water. When you rebel against God and you get away from the Lord, the drought will come. How many of us have been in that situation? Right? In our own lives, it just seems like the water just dries up, that everything goes completely wrong, and we allow ourselves to get away from God. We allow our devotional life to go down the tube. We allow our prayer life to go down the tube. We allow various things to happen. We say, the finances have gotten a little tight. I'm going to stop tithing. And you say, well, I don't have time to come out and be a witness, and I don't have time to do this and that and whatever. And we allow other things and other priorities to get in the way of our relationship with God. The nation of Israel had allowed everything in the world and to get in between them and their Lord and their God. And God sent judgments to them. God dried up the rain. But he says, those who have no water, if they seek me, he'll give water. Can I tell you this morning, if you're going through a drought in your life, if you're going through a time of trials and testings, whatever, maybe it's not because of sin in your life. Maybe God's just teaching you. He's working on us, right? He says, if you lack water, come to him. He'll give it to you. If you don't have the strength, he'll give you the strength. If you don't have the courage, he'll give you the courage. Are you listening? I wish it wasn't hot in here. If you don't have the courage, he'll give you courage. If you don't have the strength, he'll give you strength. If you don't have water, he'll give you water. He'll pour out abundant blessings upon us. He'll pour out abundant blessings. It says, be content in such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It matters in no way what happens in our economy when it comes to God. It matters in no way who's president when it comes to our God and our needs being met. God says he will supply our needs. And he'll supply every need that we have. Every need. No matter what it may be. Relational needs and physical needs. Spiritual needs. God provides all of these needs for us. God will never leave us nor forsake us. By the way, he supplied water to the lost person. He said, I am that living water. And those who come to him will never thirst again. But what a statement to make. Those who come to me and drink of me will never thirst again. You come to the living waters of the Lord Jesus Christ, you put your faith and your trust in him and him alone as your only means of salvation from the wrath of God that's been placed upon our sins. Our only means of escaping hell and having a home in heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith and trust in him, he'll give you everlasting life. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, according to his grace, he saves us. The lost person comes to him for water and he will give it. The saved person comes to him for water and he will give it. Jesus will not forsake the saved. He loves his own. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, quoting Deuteronomy 31, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Do you believe that this morning? Really, do you believe it? We've all experienced in our own lives various times in which God has intervened in our lives, just growing us, getting us prepared for the next victory, the next battle, and the next victory, and the next battle, and the next victory. God said He will never leave us nor forsake us. The quote is actually from the Old Testament. It says, He will not fail us. Listen, people have let me down. I have let some of you down. My parents every once in a while let me down. Right? I've let my kids down a time or two. And they let me down a time or two. I've got best friends who've let me down. But my God has never let me down. Amen. I trust Him. I trust Him. If He never leaves us, then we don't have to worry about the future. God knows our circumstances. He knows everything we're going through. He knows all about us. And He has promised to care for us, and He will. Pretty simple. Let's all stand.